Good morning, folks. This is Pastor David Fleener joining you on Monday morning. Unfortunately, it looked like the service for yesterday didn't get uploaded to Facebook, so I figured I'd re-record my sermon and put that online for anyone who wants to hear it. So, did you hear? A near-Earth asteroid was in the news recently. Until Wednesday, scientists gave it a 3.1% chance of striking Earth in 2032. In the darkened corners of social media that I, unfortunately, still visit, one of my favorite comments was this one. I'm a deep-sea oil driller, so if anyone has any connections at NASA, just send them my way. Me and my crew will handle this. But others didn't reference Armageddon, the movie. Others seem to reference a deep disaffection with the way the world is. Pulling for the asteroid these days was one of the comments, and another one was probably for the best at this point. In addition, there was a link to a t-shirt that reads like a political ad. Giant asteroid 2032, just end it already. Of course, these comments are tongue-in-cheek, but there's something deeper behind them, I think. And that is the growing sense of despair in American life. From 2005 to 2019, before COVID, an average of 70,000 Americans died deaths of despair each year. Included in these deaths would be suicide, drug overdose, and alcohol poisoning. Despair and fear seem to be constant companions for many people these days. But we've been here before, or we've been in a similar place. The time Jesus lived in was scary too. Many people had despaired of a better life when he walked the earth. The Roman Republic, as unrepresentative as it was, had at least diffused power under several families about a century before Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. With the assassination of Julius Caesar and civil wars, all power had been centralized under Augustus, who doled it out to favored lieutenants. The system had continued under the Emperor Tiberius. While this centralization brought a measure of peace, it was an oppressive peace for many people. Most people in Jesus' Palestine had no legal privileges. Most lived at a subsistence level, plying a trade or sharecropping. And most of their earnings went either to the taxman or to a landlord. Starvation was only one bad harvest away. Despite their powerlessness, Jesus called on his listeners to take up their spirit-given power to live a new life. And in this life is radically different from the life they've known. It's based on faith, not fear. But the way Jesus calls us to embrace this faith, this new life, seems counterintuitive at best and downright foolish at worst. Love your enemies? Then, as now, we live in a world where love and mercy are seen as weaknesses, not strengths. People seem to keep grudges forever, entertaining dreams of revenge. The song Sorry Not Sorry by Demi Lovato captures the spirit of the age. With a lyric, "It'd be nice for me to take it easy on you, but nah." Many are afraid if they show any vulnerability, people will stomp all over them. Love your enemies. Do not withhold even your coat. Give to anyone who asks of you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. To the wise of the world, this sounds like a recipe for being a doormat. But Jesus points us to another reality, to a different kind of wisdom, that of his and our Heavenly Father. And this Father does not love like we do. As Jesus says in so many words, anyone can love someone who loves them. Anyone can be kind to someone who is kind to them. Our Father in heaven loves the unlovable, the ungodly, the ungrateful, and the wicked. And newsflash, that's us. Paul writes in Romans, God proves his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why? So we could be better people after the way of the world? Of course not. Christ died to give us his life, a life that is radically different from the one we have now. It is so radically different that death is not the end of it. Rather, the life that Jesus gives us is all about transformation. When we're baptized, a miracle happens, even though we may not be able to see it. We might see a cute baby or a not-as-cute adult being baptized. We may see proud parents, sponsors, and the pastor up there, too. The pastor pours some water on the baptized, and the congregation oohs and ahs if it's a baby or a child. Pictures are taken, and it's a lovely moment. But much more is happening underneath that picture. The baptized has been drowned. The old Adam or Eve within them has been killed or suffered a mortal wound. Even though the baptized will struggle with their sinful self their whole life, that sinful self has received a death blow. Paul, the new person in the image of Jesus Christ, has been born within them. The Apostle Paul writes about this new life, this baptized resurrection life. We have the unfortunate translation choices of physical and spiritual in our reading from 1 Corinthians today to describe either the life that ends in corruption or death. Paul, the term that's used there is translated physical, or the life that is animated by the Spirit of God. That uses the term spiritual. It's the life that shares in Jesus' resurrected life. And the resurrected life is not a disembodied soul floating to heaven, as the word spiritual implies. Rather, this life is animated by God's Spirit, which is given to us at our baptism. And it is this Spirit that makes a new kind of life possible, even on this kind side of glory. A life of mercy, love, forgiveness, justice hungering, and peacemaking. This way of being in Christ is the only way that doesn't lead to more hurt, to more pain, and to more revenge. The way of the world, do to others before they do to you. Get what you can while you can. Never show vulnerability. Leads in the end to hatred, fear, and death. While Jesus' way of mercy, enemy love, and generosity leads to life. A life animated by the Spirit of God. This is not life as a doormat. Look at Jesus' life. No one who spoke truth to power as Jesus did could possibly be considered that. Rather, Jesus lived God's mercy. All his acts of healing, all his works of generosity, even all his confrontations of religious and civic leaders were revelations of the mercy and love of God, and therefore a revelation of the resurrected life, which is a radically new kind of life. There are contemporary examples of this all around us. For example, the mercy of God shown in someone suffering from addiction through the Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge Program. We've seen at Shalom examples of transformed lives from that program. Or the lives empowered through Love Inc.'s Transformational Tuesdays. Or perhaps you have a story of God's mercy and love bringing transformation to your life. Whatever it was, I'm sure those stories are powerful, and I'm sure that they witness to God's love, mercy, and grace. People of God know this. Jesus is going to transform us in that new radical way of living until that work is complete, and we share fully in the Spirit-animated life. But in the end, the last word is God's, and that last word is love. Amen.